The following message was given by Brother Timothy Hong in the church in New York City on the Lord's Day, February 5th, 2017. The title of the message is The Collection for the Saints. Scripture verses are 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 through 3 and 12 through 19. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 25.
How much we need a cleansing and your covering. We thank you for opening the way. That we all can come forward to you.
Amen.
We consecrate this time to you.
Amen.
To grant us the hearing of faith.
Amen.
That we can hear your word.
Amen.
And join you as the life and the spirit.
Amen.
To nourish us.
Amen.
To build us up.
Amen.
We love you, Lord.
Amen.
In your precious name we pray.
Amen.
Dear saints, this morning we are reviewing what we covered last week. Last week, we have come to the last chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians.
Amen.
Then we will have one more week. That is, starting from today, this week, we will review chapter 15 and chapter 16. So in the beginning, I will just share some of the things I enjoy in chapter 16. I feel the Lord has brought us a long way from chapter 1 to chapter 16.
Right.
Chapter 16, if you open your Bible in the Recovery Version, it mentioned concerning the collection for the saints.
Right.
This is mentioned in the very beginning, even in the first verse, concerning the collection for the saints. So there are a couple words in this chapter. We didn't get to read all the verses. But we cover all the verses during this past week. So saints, you can share later on. I will just share a couple words or phrases that I feel it touches me. And like I mentioned, in the very beginning, it was the matter of the collection for the saints. The other word I enjoy very much is the word Jerusalem. You may wonder, what's the enjoyment of Jerusalem? but the collection for the saints is related to Jerusalem. If you read the book of Acts, and if you read the 2 Corinthians, you will see that, in fact, Jerusalem refers not just to the city, but rather to the church there, to the saints there. They were, even in Acts, there was a prophesy mentioned that there will be famine in Jerusalem. So Jerusalem, the saints, they were in a difficult situation. So there was a need to minister to them. And I was wondering, because Paul, when he was writing the book of 1 Corinthians, he was in Ephesus, which is in Asia. And Jerusalem is in Mideast, is to the east of Asia. And Corinth, the city of Corinth, is in the west and south of Asia. Paul was writing from Ephesus to the church in Corinth, but his concern was Jerusalem. When I was reading this part of the word, I was wondering, what's going on? And Paul is an apostle of the Gentiles. We know in Jerusalem, mostly are the Jewish believers. And of course, Paul was there. But eventually, Paul got saved. Then he became an apostle of the Gentiles. So Paul was... His heart was so big. He was in one place, he was concerning about another place, and even the place, not the area of his ministry, which is Judea and in that neighborhood. In contrast to Paul, was the saints were the saints in Corinth. Looking back, we see Paul in the book of 1 Corinthians, he was dealing with the situation and the problems of Corinth. And if you read through the book of 1 Corinthians, you will know they have a list, 11 problems. But Paul, in dealing with their problems, he was not just kind of a, you know, just give the medicine that, you know, so the problem solved. Mm-hmm. No, Paul was very occupied by Christ and by the church. So all the problems we see from the very beginning, from chapter 1 to chapter 4, was concerning divisions. Divisions, you know, even at the end, in chapter 16, Paul somehow still touching this matter.
Yeah.
Because the saints in Corinth, even though they got saved, they were very much in their soul. They were living in their soul. Among them, there were divisions. Some say, I'm of Cephas. Some say, I'm of Apollos. And some say, I'm of Paul. Some others say, I'm of Christ. All the problems in Corinth, in fact, they are typical.
Right.
It's not just, you know, Corinth is such a confused, you know, disorderly and, you know, no authority. Mm-hmm. Division can exist among us, you know. We may be having meetings and we may be gathering together, but we kind of became a group. And we identify ourselves, you know, different from others. This causes divisions
right.
in the church.
Right.
But Paul was entirely not this way. But Paul, in dealing with this matter, he didn't kind of say, saints, let's be one. No, he didn't do it that way. He comes to them in the way that, you know, he wrote the book of First Corinthians with another brother, Sothenes. He is in the principle of the body. Even though he is the one writing it, but he was conscious that he should not be alone. So he wrote it in the very beginning, mentioned he wrote with another brother. And he mentioned that he's writing to the church of God.
Amen.
Such a church and with all these problems. But Paul sees this is the church of God.
Amen.
And he mentioned Christ is theirs and ours. Because he was writing not just to the church in Corinth, but to everyone who calls on the name of the Lord in every place. And he said, Christ is yours and ours. So he was fully occupied with Christ. And in chapter 1, he eventually he mentioned, you know, Christ is God's wisdom to us from God. He's also God's power. He's to us righteousness, sanctification, and redemption.
Mm-hmm.
Our Christ is so rich. And he was, while talking to them, concerning their situation, he was filled with Christ. You know, even this phrase, Christ is wisdom to us from God, both righteousness, which is for the past.
Right.
You know, we enjoy very much the hymn on righteousness. Christ is our righteousness. And that is in the past, that he has died for us, and we have been justified. And Christ is sanctification for us today, that today, daily, we are being sanctified.
Right.
Even we are called saints.
Right.
So the Lord is sanctifying us day by day. And redemption refers to the redemption of our body in the future. And throughout the book of 1 Corinthians, we see the problems of the church in Corinth. The next problem was a gross sin of an evil brother committed incest. But Paul's solution was not just get this person out. That's it. No, he shared with them concerning Christ, our Passover. And he is not just Passover, the Passover lamb. He is also the unleavened bread. We are, as the church, we are lump. We are the meal offering. It should not be leavened. So all this brings us back to Christ. So we see in 1 Corinthians, from the beginning to the end, there were 20 aspects concerning Christ, from chapter to chapter. In chapter 2, he mentioned Christ. Christ is the Lord of glory, and he will bring us into glory. And Christ is also the depth of God. All the riches within Paul, while he was dealing with the problems, it came out. So Paul is a real example to all of us. My prayer for myself, I think for all of us, is the same. Daily, we need to enjoy this rich Christ.
Amen.
So when we come together, there will be something ministered to one another. Now in chapter 3, he mentioned Christ. Christ is the foundation. There's no other foundation people can lay except Jesus Christ. So chapter after chapter, Corinth, someone asked me what I enjoy. I enjoy this, I enjoy Christ. I enjoy Christ as a solution to all our Christian problems. You know, the Corinth not only had the problem of division, they had the problem of incest, and they had the problem also the abuse of freedom. They had the problem of claiming rights also, because they were brothers suing brothers. And they were abused the freedom of eating, abused the freedom of marriage, and they had problem with in the marriage life. All this shows the church in Corinth is in contrast to the Apostle Paul. And the solution to all our problems in our Christian life, in our human life, is according to Paul's prescription, it's just Christ and his cross.
Amen.
So today, I enjoy that going through all these matters, that what we need is just very living Christ for our daily living. And this Christ, today, he is our portion for all of us. Of course, in the first part of 1 Corinthians, which is from chapter 1 to chapter 10, with all the problems I just mentioned, then in chapter 10, in fact, from chapter 8 to chapter 10, it covers the matter of eating idol sacrifices, which is hard to see that there were believers in Corinth and they are eating idol sacrifices. But Paul gave them all the help they needed. What I enjoy is not just the first part that Paul gave them the solution of Christ, also in the second part. The second part, in fact, is very much related to what Paul had the burden for the saints in Jerusalem. Because in the second part, which is from chapter 11, Paul touches the matter of headship. Because in chapter 11, Paul touches the matter of head covering of the sisters. Of course, we don't take this as a regulation, but the spiritual meaning is very rich concerning the covering of the sisters with the head covering. Because it mentioned Christ, God is the head of Christ, and Christ is the head of every man. And man is the head of every woman. Man is head of woman. So this referring to, in this whole universe, God has his authority, and God has his administration. God has his purpose to fulfill. And in order to fulfill his purpose, God is on the throne as the head, carrying out his administration on the earth. This seems to be, it's very big, very high. But at the same time, Paul brings this matter down to the earth, that Christ as the head, he is not only the head to every man, he is also the head to his church, the body. So in chapter 12, he mentioned that concerning the headship of Christ, and that Christ is the head to the body. So for God to carry out his purpose, he needs his body on the earth to cooperate with him. If we go on, we will see that for the head and the body, head needs the body, but the body is composed of all the members. So today, we are the members. This is in chapter 12. You know, this year, the burden of the whole church is concerning that every one of us, that as the members in the body, which God has set us in his body. And every one of us, we have a, we may say, we have our gifted portion. And this gift should be exercised in the body. Then the body can carry out what the head wants. Then his purpose can be fulfilled on the earth. So the burden this year is that, you know, we need all the members, we need all the saints, you know, not just the ones, you know, a few, but rather every one of us is needed. And every one of us is indispensable. And every one of us, according to God, we should find our niche in the body and in the church. And we should function according to our measure. Then God will be able to carry out his purpose through his body with the function of every member and practically in the church. So this is the picture that 1 Corinthians that Paul is presenting before us. That's why while Paul was writing to the church in Corinth and he was concerning that what God has at that time was not just this church in Corinth, but rather there are the churches on the earth at that time. And to reach out, not just to caring for the local saints, you know, the collection for the saints, usually we have the offering box here. If you read it, the reason I enjoy this method of collection for the saints, it didn't mention collect money. You know, we have 2 days on the management of our finance concerning Christian, how the Christians manage our finance. But in this chapter, it didn't mention anything about finance. And it didn't mention anything about money. It didn't mention anything material things. It just mentioned collection for the saints. And if you read on, maybe we can read chapter 16, verse 3 again. Maybe we can read that verse together one more time. When I arrive, whomever you approve, I will send them with letters to carry your gift to Jerusalem. You know, here it just mentioned that to carry your gift to Jerusalem. In fact, this word gift, if you read, it's in original, it's grace. You wonder, to carry your grace. Of course, Paul was asking them to make collections. Collections, they are something material, maybe money. Okay, money is more convenient because at that time, it's a long way to travel from Corinth to Jerusalem. But Paul mentioned nothing about it. And even he mentioned eventually, not just the collection, but rather your gift to Jerusalem. So this matter of material things, in fact, it's not just material in itself. Eventually, these material things, when we minister to others, they are grace to others. I don't know whether we all realize this or not. You know, I had a, an experience, you know, when before this meeting hall was built, we were in a smaller meeting hall. You know, we had the brick part of the meeting hall outside. That's the old meeting hall. And the old meeting hall can sit maybe a little over 100. And there was translation booth also. At that time, well, I was doing a translation. And one day I was in a translation booth, somebody handed me a cup. And I didn't know what was that. And I wondered it was some kind of special drink or something. But eventually when I opened up, it was a liver. Liver. Cooked liver. With scallions. I didn't know what to say or what to do. We know, you know, when you speak, you need water. But now it's a liver. But eventually I ate it. It was delicious. Saints, it ministered life to me. I didn't know who did it. Eventually I found out. It was Irene's father, Brother Leo. So saints, don't look down at the material thing. Why Paul is so burdened concerning telling the Corinthians, you know, put aside, lay aside to yourself, store in store to yourself whatever may have been prospered. In the first mention, verse mentioned concerning collection for the saints, Paul was burdened because this material things, when it's ministered to the saints in Jerusalem, that is what God wants to carry out. God on the throne is doing his administration and burden this brother Paul to ask the saints in Corinth. They got saved. They don't know anyone in Jerusalem. But, you know, of course, they found that they were the visiting brothers. They were Peter. They were Apollos, you know. They came to them. But most of the saints there in Jerusalem, they don't know. But just by this kind of ministering, you don't know how much life they will be ministered to the saints in Jerusalem, in the whole area. They will bring all the saints into the fellowship. You know, this year, another burden was blending. Blending is not just us blending. Yes, we need more blending because New York, you know, we have four places meeting, and soon at the end of this month, we'll have another, the fifth place. You know, we are meeting everybody in the saints meet in Queens, we always meet in Queens. The saints in Manhattan always meet in Manhattan. Now, Roger was in Manhattan, now he's here. And there were Marlon, I don't know whether Marlon's still here. Marlon has been meeting in Brooklyn.
Right.
And we need to be blended together, right, because we are one.
Amen.
Because what God wants is not just individual churches,
right,
or individual districts.
Right.
God wants all of us with all the churches to be one body.
Amen.
That's why Paul was so burdened, not just for Corinth, but also for the churches in Asia and for Jerusalem. So today, brothers, saints, we are here in New York City, but our hearts should be enlarged.
Right.
Our hearts should cover the whole globe, because the churches are over the whole globe. This is what I enjoy, that today, according to Paul's burden, we need to be centered on Christ,
right,
and the church.
Right.
So thank the Lord. There's such a brother, right? Writing an epistle and bring all the saints. Not himself alone. Yes, the Lord has gave him the heavenly vision. He was not disobedient. But today, all the saints, every one of us, should be in the same burden.
Amen.
Otherwise, how is God going to carry out his purpose? Through his church, through the churches. You know, this time, our brother announced the Young People Conference. And at the same time, Young People Conference is from 2021. And we have another conference, just in fact, overlap one day. That is 17, 18, 19. It used to be the Chinese New Year speaking, Chinese speaking international conference. This time it's called special conference because the conference is all in Chinese because they were gathering all the Chinese speaking ones, but they were different languages for the sense of other languages. But this time, the last two messages, there'll be five messages, but the last two messages will be in English because there is a burden, the Lord's burden. The Lord's burden today, the present burden, is not just for the churches in US or the churches in Asia or other continent, but in particular, is the Lord is burden for the churches in Europe because there were inflow immigrants and many of them are saved. And this is what's happening in our worldly situation. Right. But the Lord's move is always or the other way. The worldly situation always follows the Lord's move. So today, we need to respond, even the whole recovery, to respond to the Lord's present burden. Amen. And that's why there was the changing of the way to carry out this international conference. Okay, I just want to mention this matter that today the Lord is carrying out his administration through his body, with all the members, and through his churches. And this is done in resurrection. That's why last chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is on the matter of, the whole chapter is on the matter of resurrection. So even this matter of collection for the saints should not be done in our natural way. It should be in resurrection. That's why there was a phrase, 16:2. Imagine, let's read the first phrase. On the first day of the week. Okay, that's good. On the first day of the week. Somebody was confused concerning the first day of the week with the seventh day. Because the seventh day is the Sabbath day. The first day of the week is not the Sabbath day. The first day of the week, today is the first day of the week. Today is the Lord's resurrection day.
Right.
So by using the phrase, the first day of the week, Paul continued his burden in chapter 15, that today in the church life, in fact, throughout the whole book, everything Paul mentioned should be in resurrection. It should not be in the natural way, oh, we are trying to make everybody one. That doesn't work. It should be done in resurrection. And to be in resurrection, according to 1 Corinthians 15, is to be in the Spirit. Because in 1 Corinthians, when Paul mentioned concerning the resurrection, he mentioned Christ is the last Adam, Christ is the second man, Christ is the first fruit. But he said the last Adam became the life-giving spirit. So resurrection, in fact, is just Christ. Resurrection is not just an event. In my understanding in the past, was resurrection in the past, Christ was resurrected. Resurrection is the future, one day, all the believers will be resurrected. But resurrection, in fact, is a person. Because the Lord Jesus said, I am the resurrection. And yet, in Corinth, the Corinthian believers said there's no resurrection, some of them. How can you say that? Of course, Paul spent the whole chapter to bring them back that there is a resurrection. Otherwise, there's no God because the Lord Jesus, as God, he said, I am the resurrection. But resurrection is not just some event in the past or something in the future. Resurrection is something present. Even resurrection is now. Amen. Resurrection should be evident in our midst. Amen. I think on the Lord's table, we have the evidence that resurrection is here. Because all our spirits are enlivened. Amen. All our spirits are living. Amen. Because the resurrection, who is Christ, Christ became the life-giving spirit, he is in us. Amen. Today, if I'm here speaking in a dead way, there's no resurrection. If I'm speaking, you are listening in a dead way, there's no resurrection. But today, the church is in resurrection. Amen. And we are in resurrection. Amen. Because we are the living members of the living body of Christ.
Amen.
Praise the Lord today that resurrection can be in our daily living. Daily resurrection can be in our meetings, in our gatherings, even in our offering something to the Lord. People, you know, they offer something, some they want to make a name of themselves. I just heard someone share that the church in Shanghai, when they were trying to expand, there was someone offering a land to sell to the church, half price, with one request, to have a stone on this land, inscribe this person's mother's name. Eventually, the church refused. Because this is not in resurrection. This is doing something, but also having something for themselves. So today, all our whatever we do in the church life, that's why we don't advertise. You know, someone is, you know, oh, he made a big donation. No names. Nothing. Because it should be done in resurrection.
Amen.
Because the resurrected Christ is in us.
Amen.
So I really appreciate this word. The first day of the week.
Amen.
Okay, I will just mention a couple of things, then I'll finish. That is, in this chapter, toward the end, Paul mentioned about three brothers came to see Paul. And in fact, all of them came from Corinth. You know, we may think in Corinth, all the brothers, they don't believe in resurrection, all the brothers, they have problems, family problems, they have brothers, you know, not agree with one another, suing and, you know, different things, abusing. There were three brothers from Corinth, they refreshed Paul's spirit. And even Paul said, they refreshed my spirit and yours. This simple phrase shows the whole book of 1 Corinthians is written in the Spirit. And Paul is a person living in the Spirit. And Paul, with these brothers, they also came in the Spirit. Because whatever they did, Paul said, they filled up the lack of because of your absence. And I think they also brought something to Paul. You know, Paul worked for the Lord and ministering to the saints. He's very busy, but he has need. So in Corinth, already someone in coming to Paul, see Paul, they minister something to him. The key thing is the matter of the Spirit. So today, in fact, resurrection is in the Spirit. That's why we have the last two verses. Let's read the last two verses again, which is in Galatians. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you shall by no means fulfill the lust of the flesh. 25. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. You may wonder why, because in this portion of the word, Paul mentioned that in verse 1, concerning the collection for the saints, just as I directed the churches of Galatia, so you also do. Then we will find, where did Paul direct the churches in Galatia? Our brother mentioned this on Wednesday morning, that if you try to find, you have to go to the book of Galatians, right? Galatians, Paul's instruction to the Galatians was from chapter 3 on, chapter 1, chapter 2 was on Christ. And from chapter 3 on was touching the Spirit. So today, on one hand, Paul mentioned about collection for the saints. In fact, he's saying also that all the Galatian saints, they just follow their Spirit and they did it. And today, what we need to do, to take care of the matter of collection for the saints, we should do it in resurrection, and we should do it in the Spirit. And this give us a very clear picture concerning the resurrection is so crucial in the church life, and even in the matter of collection for the saints. So the collection for the saints is on one hand is something material, but on the other hand, it should be something in resurrection, and it should be something for the Lord's purpose. Let me just mention one story. After we had this meeting hall, then we was starting the meeting hall in Manhattan. There was one brother got saved after we got the meeting hall in Manhattan because we pay cash and we got it. He said, "I didn't have the opportunity that to participate in getting the meeting hall in Manhattan." So he said, "Next time, I want to have a part in getting the next meeting hall." Of course, we've been praying, and eventually we got the meeting hall in Flushing. So the brother was able to participate. So this matter of having the material collection is related to carrying out God's purpose. At the Paul's time, was caring for the churches. In our time today, is carrying on God's purpose in fulfill His purpose in the church. Here is, we are expanding for the expanding. Then we need to have the matter of giving. But the giving, according to 1 Corinthians 16, is not a matter of just you give something, but rather it's the matter of giving grace. Amen. Minister grace to one another. And this should be done in the Spirit in resurrection. So today, thank the Lord giving us this portion of the word at this crucial time, that today the church here is really, the Lord is leading us, you know. Well, we don't know, right now we have the meeting hall here, and we have the meeting hall in Manhattan, and we have the meeting hall in Flushing. In Brooklyn, in Bronx, we are also looking for places that today that we may have our own place. Because, when we're using our rental places, we are also always limited by the schedule, by the time, by the space. So today, may the Lord touch all of us. Amen. To participate. On one hand, it's something material, but on the other hand, it's spiritual. Amen. It's a grace to one another.
Amen.
And it's for the carrying out of God's purpose, God's move on the earth.
Amen.
Soon we'll hear more concerning the Lord's move to Europe. Let's enlarge our heart.
Amen.
To match our God's heart.
Right.
And we all enter into the same burden.
Right.
May the Lord gain more ground in us. We will enjoy grace. And we will learn to minister grace to one another.
Amen.
So may we all have eyes to see the needs in the church. Nobody can see everyone's need. But there are saints, the Lord placed around you. And you and me, we all can minister in a small way.
Right.
Maybe something physical. But let me tell you, you will minister life.
Amen.
You'll be grace to others. And you will be grace to you.
Amen.
May the Lord bless the church.
Hallelujah.
Make all of us. It is more blessed to give than to receive.
Amen.
Because our God is a giver.
Amen.
And in us, He wants to give.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.